Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to have everybody out here singing. Welcome to our visitors this morning as well. God bless you. I hope that you enjoy the service this morning. And most of all, I hope that you know what? If the Spirit of the Lord is moving in your heart, that you participate in the service morning. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. You know, I like to use little simple things whenever I'm preaching sometimes too, because I'm a simple man. Let's just put it that way. Let's put it to you blunt. I like to use simple things to describe things as we talk about what the Lord wants us to do. Here a while back, maybe I mentioned something to you about do not disturb. You remember something about that? You know, whenever you go in motels or hotels, they give you those little signs that said do not disturb, and you can place them on the door. And you know what? Well, we're going to preach on that a little bit this morning, Lord willing. If you would turn to Revelation, the third chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Revelation, the third chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried within the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sup with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, again, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I love you, Father. I praise you for the souls that made their way out here this morning, Lord. I ask you, Father, this morning that the word would go out just exactly the way that you'd want it, Lord. I pray that you'd get me out of the way, Lord. I know that. And Father, I pray that this anointing would come down, Lord. Without the anointing, Lord, we can do nothing. I understand that. I pray, Father, for all those taking part here this morning, for all those that are here, Lord, and I pray that our hearts and our minds will be opened up. In Jesus' name I pray and ask, and amen. Why is it in the Scripture that we see Jesus standing outside, knocking to get in? I ask you that again. You know what? There have been times that I've used it as an evangelistic Scripture. I have, and I don't see no wrong in doing it that way. I don't see no wrong whatsoever in using it as evangelistic Scripture. You know, Christ is knocking on people's hearts to get them saved. But do you know the context of this Scripture is not for that? Did you know that? Do you know what he's standing and knocking on here? It's the church's door. That's what he's knocking on. He is knocking on the church's door. I believe the church of the Laodiceans is the latter-day church, is what I believe it is. This is my humble opinion. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is standing and he is knocking to get, trying to get the church's attention. That's what he's doing. And did, you know what? And if that's the case, did the church of Laodicea place Jesus? Why did they place Jesus outside to begin with? Why did the Latter-day Church, why would any church want to place Jesus Christ on the outside and knocking, and him knocking, trying to get their attention and trying to come in? Before I do that, I want to lay something out to you, and I want to tell you this that I firmly believe. Greg went over it a little bit. I believe Jesus intended his church, the church that he gave his blood for, to be counterculture to the world. Do you believe that? I believe the church, the precious blood that Jesus shed for it, I believe that the church should be counterculture to this world. I believe the church should absolutely be distinct from the world views. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, I believe that. What had happened to the church at Laodicea, they were not counterculture to the world. Actually, they were letting the world influence them in the way that they believed. As a result, Jesus was standing outside, knocking, trying to get their attention. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a sad? The one that gave his life blood that you and I could have salvation. The reason that the church even exists today should not have to be standing outside of a church, knocking on it. Listen, I want to come in. I want to come in with you. Doesn't that just break your heart that our Lord and Savior would have to do that? As I said, most places have a do not disturb sign when you go out, and most hotels and places have those. You hang them on your door whenever you wish not to be bothered. You hang them on your door whenever you wish not to be bothered. When you're tired, when you're comfortable, just don't want to be bothered whatsoever, you hang that sign outside the door. And you know what that tells them? It tells them, you know what? When I need you, I'll let you know. The church has hung a do not disturb sign on it. Amen? They're telling Jesus, whenever we need you, we'll come and get you. Oh, what a shame. I believe that many of the churches today, I believe many of the people have done that. They've hung the signs on their hearts. And there in turn, when they've hung those signs on their hearts, and you know what, whatever church they're at, there in turn, they've hung them on the church as well. They're saying, do not disturb. Why? Because you know what? We'll come and get you. We're good. Hey, we're good, Lord. We're good. We're good to go. We don't need you. We don't need what the Bible's saying. We don't need any of that because we are comfortable just the way we are. We have everything we need. We have everything that we need. And Jesus is standing outside knocking. And he's saying this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He's begging those individuals. He's begging the churches. You know what? I want to come in and have fellowship with you. I want to come in and I want to sup with you. I want to be with you. I want to bless you. I want to come in and just put my arms around you and love you. And the church has put a do not disturb sign on the outside. And people have done that in their hearts. You see, the church at Laodicea had hung it out there. They had done that. And I believe it's the Latter-day Church, and I believe the churches are just following suit today. That's just exactly what they're doing. The Scripture tells us why. Number one, because they had demanded possession of the church. The Laodiceans had demanded possession of the church. You see, in their hearts and minds, they were the owners of the church. They were the owners of the church. I believe nothing in this Bible is a mistake. Do you? I don't believe there's any word in there that's not put in there for the purpose of getting the point across that God wanted to get across. I believe everything in this Bible was inspired. I believe everything is inerrant. Yes, amen. I believe the Bible is infallible. Don't listen to the world, I'm telling you. Don't listen to academia out there today. I believe this Bible is infallible. Look with me at Revelation 3:14 again. What it says there. And unto the angels of the church, now say these next three words with me, of the Laodiceans. Did you get that? Of the Laodiceans. He was talking to the people. That's who he was talking to. And listen to the angel. Now look at how he addresses the other churches that he talked to. And this is important. Go back to 3:7 of Revelation. Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church, say it with me, in Philadelphia. Go back to 3:1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Go back again to 2:18. And it tells us back there. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. In Thyatira. You get that? In Thyatira. That's the country. Back to 2:1. He says this. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now get unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Of Ephesus. He's not talking to the people here. He's still talking about the country. You get that? Or the city. He's not talking directly to the people. If you go through and you check out how he addressed every other church, he addressed every other church like it was a place. But whenever he come to the church, the last church, which I believe is the last church, the Laodiceans, he's talking to the people. That's what he's doing. He's talking to them. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he? You see, the other six churches are mentioned as places, not people. And praise God. But in 3:14, the whole narrative changes. Everything changes. Even the Laodicean's name is interesting. You know what it means? It means the rights of the people. The rights of the people. I'm here to tell you, nothing in this Bible is coincidence. Nothing in the Word of God is just placed there out of haphazardness. God knew who he was talking to, and I'm telling you, God knows who he's talking to today. He's talking to the Latter-day Church. In 3:14, Jesus is speaking to the church in regards to who actually is the Lord of the church. Who's the Lord of the church here this morning? Who's the Lord of the church? The church that he died for out there. Sometimes we think that we are sometimes. Amen or oh my, we did. There are churches out there to think that. They think they're the ones that's in control. Any church that does not have Jesus as the forefront has put the do not disturb sign out there. And you know what? He's out there knocking, still trying to get in, still trying to show love towards him, but they have won nothing to do with him because they have their rights. They know what's right. They know what they need to do. Oh my. Oh my. Jesus, you're not welcome. It's more or less what they're saying. Jesus, you're not welcome. We're comfortable. Let's not rock the proverbial boat. We're comfortable, Lord. We are comfortable. We will call you whenever we need you. And we want you to be there whenever we need you. Amen? Whenever we knock, Lord, we want you right front and center. Right? And I'm talking to individuals just as well as I'm talking to the church here this morning. I want you to understand that this morning. Don't live your life the way that you want to and your rules and by the way that you want to. And then the moment that you need the Lord, Lord, I want you front and center right now, God. I want you right here. But guess what? The God we serve is loving God and he still will be there. But you know what? Oh, what a shame that we do that. What a shame that we do that. They say it doesn't matter what the Bible says. What's more important is how the congregation feels. Are you feeling good this morning? Are you feeling comfortable this morning? I tell you what, I know. Sometimes I do. I preach hard. I know I do. But praise God, I tell you, I love you. The love that I have, and the whenever before my church, and I'm going to correct that right now. Not my church, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. It's not my church. Do you understand that? And I'll get to that more. We'll go on our feelings and what our conscience tells us. Sometimes that's what we do, instead of what the Word of God tells us. Even if the Bible tells them different, we're more than qualified to reinterpret God's Word. That's what we think. We're more than qualified. We've got all these books. We've got all this. And Lord, you know what? The Bible doesn't really say what you meant it to say. Not for this day and age we live in. It's totally different. You see, we're not counterculture to the world. We want the world to influence us. The church of Laodicea had allowed that culture of that day to influence them beyond measure. And you know what? Guess what? Guess what? If you can't see it, the church today is being influenced the same way. Any church that puts a do not disturb sign on the door, I'm here to tell you, they will not have the Bible as the basis of that church. And a church is in trouble. I don't care if they have 25 people going to it or 25,000 going to it every Sunday. I'm here to tell you, if the Bible is not the forefront of it, I'm here to tell you, they are in trouble. 2 Timothy It says 3:15 and 17. And I know I use this scripture a lot, but it's true. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now this is the part I want you to understand. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You need to mark that in yellow in your Bible the next time somebody comes along and tries to say, well, you know what, I don't know if the Bible really meant that or not. All scripture is given by inspiration of the God that we serve. All of it. It didn't say some of it. It didn't say the parts that you liked. It didn't say only the parts that were written in red. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to me. Every bit of it from Genesis to Revelation is inspired. 2 Peter 1:20, 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not into old time. Now get this. By the will of man. It didn't come by the will of man. Don't let them tell you that. But by holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Man, isn't that awesome? That settles it for me. I don't have to worry about what man tries to run down my throat about the Bible. My Bible tells me that was not the will of men as we try to do today, but it was inspired and moved upon men by the Holy Ghost. Just because we don't want to offend some people, just because the culture of this day does not agree with it, we cannot on our own accord change the Word of God. We cannot do that. We cannot, we should not try to do it. Let me add, if you know someone going to a, and I hope I don't offend very many people here today, but I'm going to put it bluntly to you. If you know somebody going to a church where the preacher is not preaching the Word of God in truth, if he's not standing upon the Word of God and he's uncompromised in it, but instead is compromising it, I'm going to tell you, denying the Bible is the truth, denying Jesus is the only way, tell them to get out of it. Get out of that church now. Oh, preacher, I can't. They were carried there as kids. Grandma and Grandpa buried in the cemetery out back. I'm here to tell you, if Grandma and Grandpa could, they'd get up and go too. They would. They'd be turning over in their graves if they knew what was going on in some of these churches today. A little advertisement for you. I wish you'd have been here Wednesday night. If you weren't, I wish you'd have seen that Wednesday night. The video that we showed here Wednesday night about what's going on in churches across this land. You would have been heartbroken. At least I hope you would have. You would have been sick. Also, churches that do not deserve signs of the Lord do not allow the Holy Ghost to move in those churches. Romans 8:14 tells us pretty bluntly, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. If the Spirit of God is in a church and its people, I want to tell you something right now, He will guide them. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Folks, the church that tells you that they can do whatever they want to and attach the Holy Spirit to us would not know what the Holy Spirit is if it slapped them in the face. You don't do that. If it doesn't align with the Word of God, you don't be doing it. Truth be known, a church that has hung the do not disturb sign on it has done this as well, is a church that refuses to be led by the Holy Spirit. Another indication of a church that has hung the do not disturb sign on it is this. They refuse to recognize Christ as the head of that church. I told you I wanted to confess something to you here, and I want to do it right now. I've been guilty of this. I've said my church. I've said my congregation. I've referred to that. You're not my church and not my congregation. And I'll tell you why. I sleep a whole lot better realizing that I'm middle management. Amen? I'm middle management. I've learned that. From the job I take up the plant about a year ago, I found out what middle management really meant. Am I right, Rick? Greg? You know what middle management is. They give the directives. They send them down to you, and you're the one that's supposed to make sure that it gets done. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's the upper management. This is God's church. You are God's congregation. He has set me here to preach the word. He has set me here to lay it out there to you. And you know what? Praise God, I'm going to do my best according to the Spirit and to the Word of God to do that for you. And I want to give you some friendly advice this morning also. You would sleep a whole lot better. And you would be a whole lot more into being what you should be if you'd realize this is not your church and this is not your congregation. Amen? Amen? I'm going to put it out there to you as well. Listen to me. You know what? Why you say, preacher, well, I give my money here. I go to church here. I know exactly what you're saying. I know that. But I'm here to tell you, don't be ignorant, arrogant, and say, this is my church. I've seen people like that in churches. I've seen people like that. This is my church. I bought this pew. I did this. You don't do nothing without the Lord. And I want you to understand that. I want to give you something. Listen. I want to tell you a little story. And this is a true story that happened in southern West Virginia during the recent floods. There was a preacher of a church down there. 30 years he'd been a minister at that church. Anyway, the last 2 years before this flood hit, there had been a lot of things going on in the church. There was friction. During this past 2 years, the church was old, and some of the younger people in the church wanted to remodel the church. It hadn't been remodeled since the late 60s, early 70s. Some other people in the church, they wanted to make the church a little bit shorter because it was a long church. This is a true story, by the way, and this is sad. But they wanted to make the church shorter because it was a little bit longer. And then you had another group in the church that said, no, we don't want to do anything. We've been here forever in this church. The church carpet we put in here in 1975, the pews, blah, blah, just all and on and on. And this preacher was going to retire, not because he wanted to, because he said he was getting so tired. He said he just couldn't put up with it no more. He said he tried to get all these factions together. He understood all sides. He understood it. But he said he just couldn't get them to pull together. Just couldn't get them to do it. The Lord gave him a verse of Scripture right before the flood hit. And in Psalms 29:10, this is what it says. The Lord setteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord, God had given him this Scripture before the flood hit. When the flood hit, it wiped his church out. He said that God had different plans. He's still there. He said, the ones that wanted this, he said, what he wanted to do, God didn't want it that way. The other group, what they wanted to do, God didn't want it that way. Another group, they didn't get what they wanted either. But he said, I prayed for revival for 2 years in that church. I prayed that the Lord would send a mighty, fiery revival in that church and draw people together. But God said a flood of destruction. He said what that flood did, he said, has brought unity to that church. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me, God is still sovereign. Amen. Jesus has to be at the forefront. Jesus has to be. We cannot hang a do not disturb sign out there and say, Jesus, you know what? We don't want to listen to what you have to say. We don't want that. We've got to have him at the forefront. The flood had made them pull together. And you know what? That's what they're doing today. Yeah, only 2 years before, they would have put Jesus at the forefront. If they'd have taken down the do not disturb sign that was outside, that all of them had upon themselves and on their hearts, you know what? And the fussing and the fighting, if they'd have just said, Lord, this is your church. You do what you want with it. It would have been done. It would have been done. Listen to me. We don't want the do not disturb sign put out on our church. We have been blessed here. We have been blessed. God has done a mighty thing. God has. I could tell you lots of stories that God has worked here. But praise God, you know what? I say this and I keep on saying it. Listen, don't let down our guard. Don't let it down. There are things to be done. This preacher is not middle management. And I mean, this preacher is middle management. I'm here to tell you right now, if you want some advice, I'll try my best. But listen to me. Listen to me. God has a purpose for everybody in this church. Let's pull together, continue to pull together, and say, God, have your way. You're at the forefront. God, we're going to believe your word. God, we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And praise God, there won't be no disturbed signs out here. And I am serious. If you know people going to a church where they're not preaching the word of God, get them out of there. I don't care if they come here. That's not the point I'm trying to make. They need to get into a God-believing church, a Bible-believing church. Time's growing near. And we need to stand upon the firm foundation of God's word. As they come and get a song this morning.